In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is appropriate in the month of November to turn our thoughts once again to the subject of death. We are on the verge of All Souls Day, where we will commemorate our beloved dead. And we all know that it is a certitude that we will die, and that our everlasting joy or woe depends on the condition of our souls when we die. If we should die in the state of mortal sin, we shall go directly to hell. If we should die in the state of sanctifying grace, we will go to heaven if our love of God is perfect, or to purgatory if there is venial sin to atone for, or temporal punishment due to sin, or inordinate attachments to the things of this world. The place and hour of our death is already determined by providence. How we will die, with what sufferings, and so forth, is already determined by providence. It has been foreseen from all eternity, just as your creation and your death and where you will spend eternity is foreseen by God, for he sees eternity in the way you see the present. 100 years from now, all of us who are now in this chapel living and breathing will have passed into eternity. And each one of us will be happy in heaven or tormented, either in purgatory or in hell. This is an absolute certitude. We are horrified if we should learn that someone has a terminal disease. We gasp. But in fact, we all have a terminal disease, which is the disease of original sin, which has made for us sentenced. From these considerations, it is easy to see that we should be preoccupied in our daily existence with preparation for death. Preoccupied. Death is so certain, and the consequences of it are so final and so dire, that only an insane person would not be preoccupied with a preparation for a good death. And you've heard me say before that St. Thomas Aquinas said to his sister, who asked the question, what is the most important thing in life? What should we hope for most in life? And he said, a good death. And that was the end of his response. A good death. Living this life could be compared to being on an ocean liner, which is certainly going to go to the bottom, with everyone on it, no survivors. It could be like the Titanic, which hit an iceberg and where the people had a few hours to prepare before their death. Or it could be like the Lusitania that was torpedoed and in 20 minutes went down with nearly everybody on it. But it is like being on a ship that is certainly going to the bottom. It will not arrive in its port. That is, we will not live forever. It is going to the bottom. And if the passengers know that the ship is going to the bottom, what should they do? Should they play and dance and engage in revelry and pleasures? Or should they not busy themselves in the preparation of the final moment? Either the day will come when you will never see the night, or that night will come when you will never see the morning. It will come. As you speak of your deceased relatives, so will your relatives speak of you one day. Just as you hear of the death of your friends and your acquaintances, so others will hear of your death. And you will be gone to eternity. Just as you pass by old cemeteries and see the neglected graves of people long dead, the grass growing high upon them, the gravestone crooked, so your grave will be one day neglected and forgotten, because those who knew you and who loved you will themselves be gone. And you will lie in an old cemetery, your name and memory anonymous and meaningless, just as those people are, even to your posterity. If the bodies of the dead in these graves could speak, they would say to us as we pass by, "What we are, you will soon be." And the same is said to you by the photographs of your deceased loved ones. What we are, you will soon be. How much hangs in the balance of that last moment of life? If you truly believe the gospel of Christ, if you truly believe in heaven and hell and purgatory, in the judgment that you will face from God after you pass into the next life, then why do you not use all the means in your power to secure for yourselves a happy death? Imagine yourselves now just died, having taken your last breath and just entered into eternity. What would you wish that you had done? What preparation should you have made? If you wish to die a happy death, then think of yourself in your grave or upon your deathbed. Think of yourself as drawing your last breath. If your conscience has anything to reproach you for, it is going to press upon your mind at that moment with frightful accusation. If there is an unconfessed sin, if there are attachments, or vanity, or pride, or restitution to be made, how these sins will bring fear to you who are now sinking into eternity. How will they feel who have spent nearly their whole lives in the state of mortal sin? Who have wallowed in the filth of impurities day in and day out. What will they expect from God as they are approaching the final moment? The image of the dying worldling is terrifying. His worldly friends and relatives will not call the priest, but will try to make his last moments comfortable, so to speak, by reassuring him absurdly that he is going to recover. They will not want to upset him with the thought of death. In the meantime, the worldling, knowing that he's dying, not listening to his absurd relatives, will break into a cold sweat of fear as he approaches the finality of death and the endlessness of eternity, its changelessness. Little by little, he will feel life leave his limbs, his senses, until he can no longer see and no longer move. But right up to the end, he will continue to hear, even hear his own relatives speak about his imminent death. Unless a man like this, a worldling, should receive an extraordinary grace of final penitence from God, the weight of his sins will be overwhelming, and he will despair of the mercy of God and will go to hell. But if we consider the death of the man who has prepared well during this life for the great moment, for the moment of the good death, a very different picture appears. There is no fear. There is no terror of facing eternity and our Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, he is consoled by his faith and his hope that he is returning to his blessed Savior, whom he has known and loved through his whole life. As he has gone to him in prayer every day, so now he will return to him in person. He unites his last sufferings and death with those of the Redeemer on the cross, as the priest gives him the crucifix to kiss. He invokes the holy name of Jesus over and over again, and he prays to our Blessed Lady and Saint Joseph to assist him in his last agony. He goes to God with the consolation of a good conscience, of having made a good confession, and having made good confessions throughout his life, of having frequented the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist, during his life, of having said his daily prayers, of having made reparation for temporal punishment for sin, of having been faithful to the Holy Rosary and to the devotion to our Blessed Lady all during his life, or of having mercifully prayed for the repose of the souls in purgatory who will now come to his aid, the consolation of having fought temptation, of having fled the occasions of sin, and of having quickly repented and confessed whenever he fell. Such a man would have no trouble making an act of perfect contrition, which would remit even mortal sin without confession if he should die without the aid of a priest. But if God wills that he should have the assistance of a priest, then he will be consoled by receiving absolution for his sins, consoled by receiving the Holy Viaticum, our Blessed Lord, on his tongue, the consolation of receiving the sacrament of extremunction, and of receiving the apostolic benediction, which grants a plenary indulgence at the moment of death. He will be surrounded by those of his own faith, who will pray the rosary with him and for him, and he will hear the priest say these consoling words: "Depart, O Christian soul, out of this world, in the name of God the Father Almighty, who created thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who suffered for thee, in the name of the Holy Ghost, who sanctified thee, in the name of the glorious and holy Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, in the name of Blessed Joseph, the illustrious spouse of the Blessed Virgin, in the name of the angels and archangels, thrones, dominations, principalities, hosts, cherubim and seraphim, in the name of the patriarchs and prophets, of the holy apostles and evangelists, of the holy martyrs and confessors, of the holy monks and hermits, of the holy virgins, and of all the saints of God, let thy place be this day in peace, and thy abode in holy Sion. Through the same Christ our Lord, amen. And then he continues, I recommend thee, dear brother or sister, as the case may be, to Almighty God, and commit thee to his mercy, whose creature thou art, that having paid the common debt by surrendering thy soul, thou mayest return to thy Maker, who formed thee out of the earth. May therefore the noble company of angels meet thy soul at its departure. May the court of the apostles receive thee. May the triumphant army of the glorious martyrs meet thee. May the crowd of the joyful confessors encompass thee. May the choir of the blessed virgins go before thee. And may a happy rest be thy portion in the company of the patriarchs. May Saint Joseph, the tender patron of the dying, inspire thee with a great hope. May the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, kindly look upon thee. May Jesus Christ appear to thee with a mild and cheerful countenance and give thee a place among those who are to be in his presence forever. Mayest thou be a stranger to all who are condemned to darkness, chastised with flames and punished with torment. May God command thy wicked enemy with all his evil spirits to depart from thee. At thy approach, encompassed by angels, may the infernal spirits tremble and retire into the horrid confusion of the eternal night. May thy God arise, and thy enemies be put to flight. May all who hate him flee before his face. Let them vanish like smoke or as wax before the fire. So let sinners perish in the sight of God. But as to the just, let them rejoice and be happy in his presence. May all the legions of hell be filled with confusion and shame, and let no evil spirit dare to stop thy course to heaven. May Christ Jesus, who was crucified for thee, deliver thee from torments. May he deliver thee from the eternal death, who for thy sake vouchsafed to die. May Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, place thee in his garden of paradise, and may he, the true shepherd, own thee for one of his own flock. May he absolve thee from all thy sins and place thee at his right hand in the inheritance of his elect. Oh, may it be thy happiness to behold thy Redeemer face to face, to be ever in his presence, in the beatific vision of that eternal truth, which is the joy of the blessed. And thus placed among those happy spirits, mayest thou be forever filled with heavenly sweetness. Amen. When the priest says these words, after you have been absolved and refreshed by the Holy Eucharist, what will there be to fear about death? Will it not rather be a return to our true home, to our God and our Redeemer, to our Heavenly Mother, who love us much more than anyone can or does love us here? Instead of being the dreaded moment of our lives, will not death then be the greatest moment of our lives? So if you are in the habit of sin, then now is the time to convert and make the rest of your life a holy preparation for death. And if you are in this state of grace, then pray for the grace of perseverance,
without which you cannot die well. Do not be caught in the awful hour of death with works that merit the eternal death of hell, but rather with a lifetime of works which will merit the eternal life of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.